November 3rd, and this is Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Rimson. All right.
Let's do this. So I couldn't get home from work today.
Yeah, and again, my phone sucks at telling me when I have voicemail.
So I'm at work, and I figure I'm going to leave around, you know, like 5:30, because I got there late. I figure I'll leave late. And then they announced something over the PA system, which is a big deal, because when they use the PA system, it usually means, like, there has been a chemical leak or something like
that. We have a PA system, but the work doesn't use it. Only the building can use it.
Ah.
And it's usually like, there is a fire drill.
But no, they announced that I-84, the way I go home, is blocked due to an accident.
It gets blocked all the time, like when it rains.
Yeah, whenever it rains, whenever it snows, whenever it's dark out, people just get into accidents and block it, which I wouldn't care about, except that it's the only way home.
Well, you can take the side road.
Oh, there's one side road. There are only two roads that go east and west here. There's I-84, and there's another crap road with a bunch of stoplights and small towns on it. I took the crap road because the freeway was blocked, and it took me, you know, 2 hours to drive 6 miles.
I think this just might be only the stretch of 84 between your work and here, because when I take 84 home to Connecticut, I never have a problem. I freaking fly down that road.
Why? You're going east, and I go west.
West not so good.
No, west not so good, because right at the end of...
But coming home, you're going east, right?
No, coming home, I'm going west.
Oh.
We live next to the Hudson River. I work east of the Hudson River.
Suck.
Yeah, Mr. Geography.
Yeah. Yeah.
But remember, the only Hudson River crossing anywhere around here...
Newburgh Beacon Bridge.
Right there.
Hudson whatever bridge.
Yeah, that's like 20 miles
And then if we
north.
Go south, Tappan Zee Bridge.
Yeah,
that's farther south.
Many miles in either
that's
direction.
That's near New Jersey.
So all the traffic from all the commuters funnels into the one way I go home.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Just go the other way home.
There is no other way home.
The side road with the small towns.
See, whenever I-84 blocks, all the traffic, all the people get off I-84 and get on that road.
So why don't you go like this really roundabout way? Because even though you'll be really
slow...
No,
because I can't get to the roundabout way.
You can't?
You realize there aren't many roads around.
Couldn't
here.
You go like way north and then take 9D?
All right, what do I get on to go way north?
That road near IBM.
Oh, that little short road that is also full of traffic from people avoiding I-84? Yeah. So I hate people, and I think if you ever get in a car accident, they just take your license away or something.
See, while I don't like being far away from work and having to commute, at least I don't have to deal with shit like that.
No, you just get on the train, and it always gets there.
Well, you know, you never know when it might be canceled or something.
They almost never cancel Metro North.
Yeah, but it could happen.
Last year, during that crazy blizzard, they were delayed like 10 minutes. That was it.
Yeah, that's about right.
So it was a slow news day.
Real slow. I mean, half the news is just yesterday's news.
Yeah.
Again.
Oh, newsflash. Libby pleaded not guilty.
You know, whether you did it or not, let's say you did it, right? When you got those kind of charges,
yep.
You don't say guilty because you're going to die like the next day when they kill you. So you freaking say not guilty no matter what, if only to delay imminent death and imprisonment. So that's not a surprise at all.
Yeah. Though he did waive his right to a speedy trial, which means he wants to drag this out.
Like I just said.
Yeah.
If you're guilty and you know you're going to be found guilty and there's this pile of evidence that Fitzgerald found, you want to delay it as long as possible.
So you know how long they're delaying it?
A year.
The next hearing, which is just another hearing. This isn't even the trial yet. February 3rd.
Well, that's not too far away.
Yeah, but that's not
Think about how much time was between when O.J. was driving his Ford Bronco and when O.J. was actually in court.
You know, I don't even remember. I was in middle school.
Many months.
I just remember that when the trial ended in middle school, they showed it on all the TVs in the school.
They didn't show it, but someone ran around the building saying...
They showed it, and it was not guilty. And I remember going, son of a... But then half my class jumped up and cheered, like, woo!
I didn't even... You know, it had gone on so long... Like, I thought he did it, I thought he might have not done it, but I was pretty sure he did it, and then I just didn't care by the time it was over. So when they said not guilty, I was just like, oh, well, I don't remember.
I just remember it at the height of the stupid popularity of this thing. I remember going to the Gibraltar Trade Center, which is like a giant flea market in Michigan where I used to live.
Okay, because he's a trade center. I'm like, an office building?
No, no. Like, imagine a flea market bigger than RIT's entire campus.
All right, all right.
In a big building. Like, it's a big warehouse full of
crap. I know those kind of things.
Yeah.
They have them in Florida
and
near my grandma.
Back then, Pogs were real big.
I went to a flea market in Florida when Pogs were real big. I got them Pogs. I should get them. They're fun.
Not only were there O.J. Simpson Pogs.
Oh, my God.
There was one guy who sold nothing but O.J. Simpson's Pogs.
Oh, my God.
And he was doing brisk business. He had a half of them that were like, the juice is loose or innocent. And the other half were like, guilty or he's going to fry. And they were selling in equal portions. He was selling slammers. He was selling the regular ones.
See, that was the problem with Pogs, is like, they had the official Pog brand Pogs, and they were high quality. Like, and then they had the cheap-ass third-party knockoff Pogs everywhere. And
Wait a minute. High quality. You realize that the game of Pogs is probably the stupidest game in the world, second only to Conkers. But I think even Conkers has more
skill. I don't know
what
Conkers, but...
Conkers is a game they play in Britain when people were kids. I don't think anyone plays it anymore. Where you take, like, a chestnut, and you tie a string to it, and you take turns hitting your chestnut against other people's chestnuts until when your chestnut breaks, you're out of it. And then the last standing chestnut wins.
All right, Tiddlywinks is better than that.
I kind of like Conkers.
Pogs is at least... It's not a game of strategy or skill or smartness, but it's like a manual dexterity game. You got to throw this thing really hard and really accurately straight down to the ground. And you have to hit a target that's the same size as the thing you throw. But even if you weren't playing it for the... I really never actually played the game that much, you know?
I never played it ever.
I only played it once in, like, middle school at lunch. But
whatever,
I really
they banned him from my school right away because some kid like threw one and it hit some kid in the face.
Oh, whatever. But I remember because I would always basically I was collecting them when I was into them. I didn't collect that many. Like I remember, I only bought them like maybe three times ever. Yeah, because I was a little impressionable kid, and because there was really nothing else to collect at that time. It was like I was like in between things, you know. It's like Magic was getting kind of You know, and, you know, comic books were already done. The comic book store in the mall went out of business.
See, back then I had D&D, and that was all I needed.
Yeah. So anyway, Pogs. That's not news.
Yeah.
Pogs is definitely not new.
I'll bet they come back someday.
Dude, why don't we bring back Pogs and make a business out of it, and then make an internet Pog thing? Oh my God, I'm sure there's an internet Pog thing.
I'm sure there is.
All right.
I'll bet someone made an online version of Pogs.
All right, that in Flash? Oh, my God, that'd just be so dumb. All right, anyway, what else is news?
Congress got rid of that act that would have let us take unlimited amounts of money from congressmen to do political advertising on our little cast here.
That's not what I thought the law said.
What do you think the law said?
I think the law said that we could say whatever we wanted on blogs without the FCC interfering.
Oh, yeah. No, what the law said was that campaign finance laws don't apply to the should not apply to the internet. Currently they do.
Okay.
The law said, "Oh, they won't," which would mean that anyone who was running for an office could spend infinite money on the internet and they wouldn't even have to say they were spending that money or say who they were giving that money to.
Oh, so right now candidates can spend infinite internet money.
No, right now they cannot. The law was going to make it so that they can.
Oh, so they can't.
They can't.
Okay, so.
That's it.
That's fine. That's I don't want them to spend infinite money.
Exactly.
On
that's all the law, dude. People are really making a big deal out of
this.
Well,
because it seemed like it was described differently. I think you're missing something.
No, no, because you got the /dot summary, and I read the actual law. It also had a thing about oil drilling in it and all this other crap.
Well, that crap, whatever. It's a Christmas tree law. You know, with a bunch of ornaments all over it?
Yeah.
Have nothing to do with the trunk or the little pine needles? In fact, usually all the pine needles fall off. That's why it's a Christmas tree.
Yeah, all the bill really was is to let... make it so that the internet was just free grain completely when it came to political speech, but that also included no more finance laws, so you could just pay a bunch of bloggers a whole bunch of money to shill you and not have to account for that, but yet you still have to account for if you bought a TV ad.
Uh-huh. But it seems like a lot of people are saying they wanted the law to go through because it would allow bloggers to do something that they can't do currently.
What can't we do currently?
I don't know. It seemed like they said...
What can't we do?
It said that, like, you know, now we could... If the law passed, we would have been free to
To accept a lot of money. We can be as political as we want right now.
Oh, so now we can accept money for our politics.
No, we can't accept money. Well, we can, but it has to be disclosed. It's like if someone buys a political ad on TV, they have to disclose, I spent this much on the ad, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, so this would have so we wanted the bill to pass so we could make out like bandits.
Yeah, basically.
But
this isn't nearly the free speech issue that a lot of people on Slashdot and FARC were making it out to be. And people in the blogosphere just busting a nut over this nothing that happened.
Maybe I'll go read it more in depth to see if we're 100% accurate, because
that's basically
what it
was.
We're conflicting with a lot of the things I read.
A lot of people are
not
real,
that I read them very in depth.
A lot of people are real alarmist about things.
All right. So, Brown, the FEMA guy, right? What was his name? Mike Brown?
Yeah, that genius.
The genius of FEMA. So, they got his emails he sent during the hurricane.
Great. Any gems in there?
All of them.
All right, let's hear a few.
All right, don't wait. These can be summed up in one word. Hilarious.
Is he our new Jack Thompson?
No, he's not evil or anything. He's just dumb.
Jack Thompson's not evil. He's just crazy.
All right, so anyway, here. In one email sent, this is from CBS News, whatever. Uh-huh. In one email sent on August 29th, as Katrina was pummeling the Gulf, a FEMA public affairs official tells Brown the outfit he wore on a television appearance looked fabulous, to which Brown replies, I got it at Nordstrom's. Then he adds, are you proud of me? Can I quit now? Can I go home?
What?
That was this is the email he was sending when he was supposed to be dealing with a disaster.
Was he trying to be funny, or is he just that dumb?
What? Ahem, ahem. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports that an hour later, as thousands of evacuees huddled in the Superdome, shelter of last resort, Brown fired off another email. The email said, if you look at my lovely FEMA attire, you'll really vomit. I am a fashion god.
All right, so we're 2 for 2 on fashion, and 0 for 2 on saving poor people from a hurricane.
Here's a good one. This is the last one I'll do. After the levees failed and the situation grew even more desperate, FEMA's point man in New Orleans pleaded for Brown to send more help. This is what the guy said to Brown. You know the situation is past critical. Estimates are many will die within hours. All right?
Yeah.
Just 4 minutes later, Brown wrote back, thanks for the update. Anything specific I need to do or tweak? Question mark.
Wow. This guy is, I don't even know what to say.
The following day, Brown wrote to a fellow FEMA employee, I feel like I'm getting the shit beat out of me. ..
So, if we learn anything from this, it's that in the event of an actual emergency, the federal government isn't going to be anywhere to interfere with us at all.
Good, they're incompetent. I don't want them anyone near. They'll just fuck it up.
Yeah, yeah. So if there's ever some crazy disaster, like, I don't know, Angels attack, like Evangelion or something, whatever the government says to do, I'll just do the opposite.
I won't do the opposite of whatever they say because, you know, I'll figure out what to do best and
do
it, regardless of what they
say. I wouldn't be sitting in that dome, I'll tell you what.
Definitely not sitting in the dome.
So SGI, Silicon Graphics, isn't doing so well.
Well, no kidding, because their computers are crazy more powerful versus expensive than anyone needs.
Yep.
And no one needs Irix.
No.
And pretty much you can do a bunch of cheap, you know, supercomputers with Linux to do better than what they give you.
Hell, depending on, I mean, from what they used to give you, you could buy just one Windows machine to do some of those things now.
Now, yeah. They were good back in the day when they were the only machines that could really do the graphic action. But
yeah, plus they've been real pro open source.
Yeah, they have been, but it hasn't helped them.
Yeah, so I feel bad that a company like that that's kind of cool
goes
away.
They're in the same business as Sun, only Sun has other Java business stuff.
Sun
SGI
also,
doesn't have anything else at all.
Yeah, though Sun also has its IBM stuff now.
Yeah, but hopefully we'll be able to get some cheap SGI machines.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, just nice little good-looking SGI machine on the
maybe
floor.
Maybe some Aeron chairs?
Aeron chairs? Those aren't SGI.
Yeah, but if they really go under all the way.
Oh, they sell those to businesses, though. You can't get them.
We'll see. I'm a business.
Yeah. So, you know, Radio City, in every winter, they have the Christmas Spectacular show.
Oh, the ladies kicking their legs in the air?
Well, those are the Rockettes.
Yeah.
They're not, they're in the show, but they're not, the show doesn't, they're not the only thing the show has.
Yeah, because I'm not interested in that at all. I don't know why.
Well, I've seen the show once. It's not really the greatest show. But anyway, the musicians.
Yeah.
They went on strike.
Uh-huh. Because there's another strike going on in New York right now. So that's two strikes.
Okay. So they're using recorded music. They're just playing it over the speakers.
But all the people who bought tickets are...
They're going to watch a show. They don't care.
Do they know?
Yeah.
Are they getting a discount?
The musicians are sitting outside the theater doing their little strike protest. People just walk right into the theater and watch a show.
Wow. Wow.
That's it.
Well, at least it wasn't canceled like our video game concert was.
Yeah. And the last tiny bit of news is Firefox now has 10% market share.
Yeah, I saw that.
1 in 10 computers have the Firefox. Well, 1 in 10 internet web browsers.
That's not so bad at all.
It's not bad. It's at the point where you can start giving the finger to 9 out of 10 people.
Yeah.
People were saying that Firefox growth was slowing down. Well, shows them.
So, my thing of the day... It's not anything new. In fact, it's very old. It's 2 million or 2 billion years old. It's real old. And it's just something that a lot of you probably know about, but I didn't know about it. I found out about it, and it was really cool, and I read a bunch of stuff.
I have no idea what you're talking about yet.
All right. But in Gabon, which is a country in Africa...
I never heard of this country.
There is
and I'm
a
good
city,
at Carmen San Diego, too.
A city or an area or something called Oklo. O-K-L-O. And in the 1970s, a bunch of scientists there noticed something odd. And to cut to the chase, because I'm not going to go on about this forever, there was a naturally existing nuclear reactor there.
Naturally existing?
It happened when some geological events put uranium-235 and water in such a configuration that a nuclear reactor was formed, and it reacted for thousands and thousands of years.
Wait, so is uranium heating up a water... The water is cooling the uranium, and steam is coming out?
Actually, what was happening is the uranium was
fissioning with itself?
The water was acting... Like, the stream went through this uranium. So the water was acting as a neutron... whatchamacallit?
Gun?
No.
But anyway... It made the uranium
fission. It facilitated fission. But then, when it got too hot, where it would, like... It would have exploded.
The water was cooling it off?
No. The water would evaporate away into steam, and then there wouldn't be any water there, and the reaction would stop. And then the water would come back in.
This is just like a little river with a piece of uranium in it, basically.
A lot of uranium, and it went for thousands and thousands and thousands of years.
Well, if you got that much uranium, the half-life's pretty long,
And it's a really interesting site, and they're doing a lot of cool research there because of the unique properties of the soil. It's not reacting anymore.
You know what this tells you? Nuclear reactors are real easy to make, and we shouldn't be worrying about, like, Iran.
Actually,
crap.
What a lot of people are talking about is that this made nuclear waste. It made nuclear waste very similar to the nuclear waste our nuclear reactors make.
It did? Yeah.
Lots of
it would
it.
Have
and,
to.
And you know what? It didn't get into the groundwater. It didn't contaminate shit. It just stayed exactly where it was buried. And the way it's set up is a lot like the way...
Well, didn't alpha particles fly off of it and shit?
Alpha particles would get about a millimeter.
Well, it's not releasing gamma rays, I know that. So the only other, you could get some beta particles on there.
Alpha particles are stopped by anything.
Well, it's like beta particles. Isn't it like a helium and a something? An alpha particle?
An alpha particle is pretty much an atom that gets shot out.
Yeah,
a beta particle is an electron. A gamma ray is a gamma ray.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the alpha particle is like a helium.
The point is that Yucca Mountain is very similar, and everyone who's afraid of it, all the scientists who know what they're talking about are saying, look, if we bury our waste in Yucca Mountain, nothing bad will happen to it.
Uh-huh. Well, there you go.
And as a result, a lot of anti-nuclear activists are decrying this as a false or a forgery or it didn't really happen or it's a fluke.
We should take them to see it.
I'd like to go see it.
A Greenpeace was outside the train station on my way home
today. Oh, great.
They were talking about some forest crap. I don't care. They're like, save the forest. And I was like, and then there's one guy who's always there, and he's like, save the homeless people. And I'm like, yeah, we should cut down the forest to build homes for the homeless people.
Well, the thing is, most of the logging industry outside of like the rainforest where they're just clear cutting and they are doing kind of bad things, they're actually a really good industry, and they plan 40 years ahead, and they plant enough trees to make sure that there will always be trees for them to cut down.
Yeah.
See, I'm not a preservationist, but I'm definitely a conservationist, and you maximize your use of the resources and minimize your negative impacts.
Yeah.
The problem is Greenpeace seems to want to minimize everything and maximize their own money-making.
They're just nuts.
Yeah.
So my thing of the day.
Yeah.
So Sony has this DRM on their CDs, which puts in the rootkits, right?
Yep, yep, yep. A lot of people know about that.
Did we talk about that before?
I don't know if we did or not. I don't remember. But
anyway, so if you want to play a Sony CD in your Windows computer, it installs this DRMs.
An incredibly difficult to remove, incredibly powerful.
Well, it's just a little rootkit, and it goes and it makes. If you try to remove it just by deleting files, you end up deleting your CD-ROM driver.
Because so what it does is it kind of infects your CD-ROM driver, and what it does is it makes it so any file that has a certain prefix in the file name is 100% hidden from the operating system.
If the file name starts with $SYS$, it's invisible.
Even in safe mode, even to antivirus, to anything, you can't see it.
Well, you can see it if you use a rootkit revealer, because what it does is it replaces the code in the operating system for listing the contents of directories. So when you make the operating system call and you say, "Hey, operating system, what files are here?" It won't list anything that begins with $SYS$.
Yep. Or you can just boot into a live
dollar
CD.
$SYS$. Damn it.
Good game.
Anyway, World of Warcraft has spyware.
It makes sure that I'm not cheating.
Make sure that you're not cheating, but it is a spyware. Even though currently everyone's pretty sure they're not doing anything evil with it, they are sending your list of processes and such to
Not
Blizzard.
Just a list of processes, also a list of the title of every window you have open.
Yep, and
so
all kinds of other
stuff.
If you
happen to have Firefox open to, like, one page...
And the name of the page is, like, child porn?
They got a list of whatever websites you're looking at while you're playing World of Warcraft.
Yep, well, the page you're looking at right now.
Yeah.
But anyway... You know, I don't think they're actually looking at that information. I think they're really just looking for cheating.
I figure. They have no vested interest in finding out.
But that's not the point. The point is that they shouldn't be doing that with the spyware or such.
Yeah.
Here's the trick. If you install the Sony DRM and you rename your cheat files to $SYS$,
ooh.
World of Warcraft can get you cheating.
You know?
Fight fire with a flamethrower.
You know, I got one thing to say to that. Leroy
Jenkins.
So,
who would think this is a DRM you would want?
Yeah? I wonder how many people are going to start cheating crazily.
At least a few.
Yeah? And especially as the internet spreads this, it should be interesting when a bunch of people are running around with like 50 gold and... Yeah.
50 gold? That's like nothing.
That's a lot in that game. Apparently one gold piece is real valuable in World of Warcraft.
What, is like silver the most current common piece or what?
No, there's just gold. And you
there's just gold and it's rare?
As far as I can tell, I don't play the game.
Oh. Maybe that's why this those gold miners from China. Because like, apparently if one gold is rare, you could freaking find a way to get a bunch of it. You're freaking damn.
There's it's easy to get a bunch of it. You get a bunch of minimum wage or low wage workers to sit there and play World of Warcraft.
There you go. All right.
So, it's Thursday night, and we miss college.
We do.
A lot.
A whole lot.
See, we went to a really geeky school. We went to RIT. And we were surrounded by and immersed in geekery 24/7 for pretty much 4 years.
It is the geekiest school there is. In fact, there was that comic recently about how geeky RIT was. It's also, like, the center of, like, all piracy in the internet piracy. And
remember the big piracy group, Drink or Die? Yeah. They were an international piracy group, and they were busted by the feds a couple of years ago. They were run entirely out of RIT.
Yep. RIT is nerd capital of the world.
Yep. I mean, it has the biggest anime club in America. It has the scariest gaming club in the world.
I've seen scarier gaming clubs, but yeah.
It used to have it has a gaming convention. It has an anime convention at it.
Yep.
And if you walk through the dorms at 3 a.m., you'll either hear the sounds of people playing Counter-Strike or you'll hear the sounds of lonely nerds.
Some non-lonely nerds, like frat boys or whatever.
Yeah, or deaf people having sex.
Bump, dump.
See,
bow, bow.
Connected to RIT is NTID, the National Technical Institute for the Deaf. And it's a good school, and they're cool people, but goddamn, they can't hear how much noise they're making.
And some of them, you know, because RIT is a cross-section of nerddom, which is typically more intelligent, and NTID is a cross-section of society, the average smartness of NTID is less smart than RIT.
When I worked for RIT, I always delivered stuff around, and I ended up seeing a study that some professor was doing where apparently most of the crime committed at RIT, I don't know if it was most, but it was definitely the majority, was committed by NTID students to NTID students. To the point that, well, even while we went there, there were security cameras all over the NTID side of campus, but nowhere else.
Yeah, it's true. You know what it was, is they were the only ones who could think that, you know, they wouldn't hear them coming. they just sneak in, grab a laptop, run away, you know.
One of the big problems with RIT, actually, because it's mostly geeks who are real smart, at least smart in terms of figuring out how to pull something off. RIT had a lot of projectors, real expensive projectors, like $10,000, $20,000 projectors.
In every classroom.
And they were stolen at a rate that you would not believe.
Scary rate. And then they replaced them all, but
They get stolen constantly. So eventually they...
Well, I think there was one guy with like an epidemic of stealing, but I think they eventually... I don't know if they caught him, but I think it eventually stopped.
Yeah. I mean, because first of all, they had them mounted to the ceiling, and they had like a cable that connected to it. And if the cable got cut or disconnected, it called security immediately. So what did the nerds do? They left the cable intact and cut all the stuff holding it up. They cut everything except the cable. Then when they were ready to bolt, they cut the cable and ran.
Works.
Worked real well.
I think eventually they got to have security cameras all over the place. They're there.
Well, school's
locked
down.
There's just not many of them.
Since we left, the school locked down.
It locked down a little bit.
Well, the dorms are locked all the time now, and you can't get in without a key.
Yeah, but someone lets you in and stuff, you know.
Yeah, but remember when we were there? The doors just open all the time.
Yeah. There was a school in Europe, actually, that did something cool, is if you wanted to get into the dorm with your boyfriend or girlfriend from outside the school at night, then you would have to pay, like, so many pounds, British pounds. Which is to, it's basically like, you know, this isn't your house. If you want to stay here, you got to pay. Because, you know, the students who were there got to pay. So if anyone wants to spend the night, they made
them pay. No, no, that's crap. Because say I have an apartment. My landlord can't
It was only the
me.
Dorms.
All right, dorms like an apartment. Say I have an apartment, my landlord can't charge me extra $5 because I had my girlfriend stay over one
day. Yeah, the thing is that you're not technically renting the dorm, is that they're letting you stay there. It's like a hotel.
Yeah, but
it's like a hotel if they find out you have an extra person.
You know what? That's still crap.
But anyway, the point is that people paid this happily, and they even, like, guys are showing off their receipts to be like, hey, I stayed in the dorms with some chick.
Wow.
And the school
that
made
be a problem.
The school
RIT.
Made a lot of money off of it to do cool stuff. Like, renovate the dorms.
Yeah. But, the college lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. We would get up late and skip whatever morning classes we had.
Yep.
We'd go to class and either sleep or not pay attention or do work for other classes.
Yep.
And then we'd do crazy stuff all night until real late. Then we'd all go out to, like, a diner and eat. And then we'd stay up later. And then we'd eventually fall asleep and wake up and repeat the next day.
Yep.
We would go to our anime club, hundreds of people milling around yelling at each other.
Yep.
We'd go to our board game club, play board games and yell at scary people.
I think that's about it. We go to hockey.
RIT hockey.
Hockey.
See, it's such a geeky school, but it had a really good hockey team. It had
relative to the hockey teams they played.
It had a top-tier Division II hockey team.
Three.
No, it was Division II.
Division II doesn't exist.
That's the point. It was a top-tier Division II hockey team back in the day, because they didn't let me finish here. Mm-hmm. And then they got rid of Division II in hockey. And instead of putting RIT in Division I where they should have been, they put them in Division III.
They're in Division I now, but they're only doing... They're win-lose, you know.
Yeah, well, it's their first year in Division I. That's a big leap when you're in Division III for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But in Division III, they were just unstoppable. They won a game our freshman year 24-0.
Against the worst team ever.
24-0 in hockey.
Hey, once playing ice hockey on the NES against my cousin, I won 125-0.
I can't imagine how that's even possible.
I did it. I remember it very clearly.
No, because I can't imagine anyone you were playing with putting up with that and continuing to play.
Well, you know, there were a lot of games he kicked my ass at, like the stupid championship bowling game. I couldn't beat him at all. He would get like a 300, I'd get like 60.
But I miss that. I mean, in college, I'd pay $1, and I could see an awesome hockey game and then hang out all night.
Well, it was $3, I think.
That was $2.
I think it raised the price.
They raised the price our senior year.
Yeah. Now nothing.
If I want to see a Rangers game, I can pay like $70.
Yeah.
And I got to drive down there.
Man, I went from do whatever I want, whenever I want, with literal no responsibility. But I complained about having homework. Now I got no homework. But it's wake up, go to work, come home, do stuff, eat, yep. Go to bed.
We can only really do stuff on the weekends. When we were in college, the weekends were just like extra bonus time, and we did stuff all the time.
Yep. Man, I used to make fun of people for wake up, go to work, come home, watch TV, go to bed. Now yep. I'm all those things, except I replace watch TV with some other stuff.
Yeah, like this.
Like this.
I mean, the biggest problem is that we had all our friends together. We had a huge posse. We had our front row crew.
Well, we made the posse there.
Yeah, and we had a posse there because we made it there, and we were real close.
And now we gotta find, we gotta make a new posse here, but there's no, it's not easy because we don't have a giant pile of nerds to run through the sieve.
But it's cool because we moved out here, and bit by bit, as all our friends from college graduate or get jobs or whatever, they're moving out here.
Eh, kinda.
Yeah, we got a good bit. We're better off than staying there.
Definitely better off than staying there.
Because there was a time when I thought, you know, living here at RIT is great. I could just live in this town forever and have the same awesome forever. And then I realized that, no, because everyone else will leave, and I won't get a good job because the market there is glutted with kids who all want to do the same thing. And it's kind of a crappy area outside of the college. The only thing that made RIT great was the people.
Giant pile of nerds in one basket. We don't live near a game store anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the best game store I've ever been in my life is still Millennium in Rochester.
I think it's the biggest game store.
It's one of the biggest. I don't know if it's the biggest, but it's up there.
But it's like, even though, you know, all right, so now we can buy all the board games we didn't have before, but now we have no people to play them with.
But, I mean, it's not like we have no people, because we have a lot of friends who live near enough to where they can hang out for a weekend. We've had at least one big party where everyone came and we had a giant
We're
going
to have a bigger party where everyone comes on New Year's.
Oh, God. On New Year's, I think we're going to have more people than our house can hold.
We should get even, like, the such extraneous people, like my family and your family, and make it crazy.
I've been invited. Pretty much, I have told everyone I think is cool. And I haven't gotten to everyone yet because it's still a ways off. And I'm pretty much trying to contact everyone I know. And I'm being like,
like, so, even really, like... Ken, even, like,
yeah,
way
I'm telling
out there.
Everyone.
We should get every warm and even some cold bodies.
Yeah, I wonder if Dwayne's still alive.
No, we don't want Dwayne.
God. Dwayne was, when we first got to RIT, and we all, like, the way we all met was because we went to this gaming club, and we're all standing there, we're all like little freshmen, none of us know each other, and then we hear a guy yell in the distance, "I'm running a third edition D&D
game." He wasn't
game.
In the distance.
Well, like in the other side of the room.
No, he was, well, maybe you were on the other side of the room.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
Because I saw him, he stood up on a table, he's like, "I'm running a third ed D&D game." And I ran over there, and I met a bunch of geeks.
I walked in expecting to play some Battletech with Battletech, and Katsu was there with his crazy umbrella, and I talked to him, because he was liking the Battletech, even though it was, he didn't play it for so many years, even though we had already played it out. In all those times in Peterson 3, he had never played Battletech until like 2 years later.
Yeah, Katsu's awesome, but he's not good at Battletech.
Even though I met him before anyone else. And then I was right there with all the group of people, and this guy
and
was
this
like,
guy, yeah,
was like third ed D&D.
So we all make our characters.
I had never, I had last D&D I saw was second ed. So I was like, third ed, holy crap.
I had just bought third ed, and I had just converted a character to third ed. So like, I barely knew it. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome because this guy seemed really cool, and it was a huge group. So we split it up into like two groups, and there's going to be a DM and a co-DM, this crazy D&D game. And the first session was awesome.
It's pretty good.
So we go the next week to play again. And we learn that Dwayne, apparently, has all like this amount of awesome in his body. And he spent it all that night. And all that was left was this pot-smoking doofus.
Husk?
Just a husk of a man with like pot smoke flowing
the
around
The other
there.
DM guy was actually cool, but he disappeared.
Yeah, he like literally disappeared. I never heard from him again.
Yep. Yeah.
D&D. We used to play D&D.
People say, you know, oh, we should make marijuana legal. It doesn't hurt you. It doesn't, you know, chemically, you don't get addicted. Yeah, but it turns you into a stupid stoner who's completely useless.
Dwayne would have probably been addicted to, like, Tylenol. I don't think there was any stop in his His proclivity toward addiction.
But he could have been addicted to something that wouldn't turn you into a doofus.
He could have played World of Warcraft.
You know, while World of Warcraft, it eats up all your time and some of your money, it doesn't turn you into a doofus.
Doofus.
Yo.
I miss D&D, though. We used to play Dungeons & Dragons for hours.
And now, I guess you could... people do play two-person D&D.
I'll be the DM. All right, let's play right now.
All
right. You're like a human fighter.
No, I don't want to be a fighter. I want to be a wizard.
Fine, you're a wizard.
Sweet.
You're level 5.
Ooh, sweet. Fireball. Right. Fireball.
So you're standing at the entrance to a dungeon.
All right.
There's a sign that says dungeon.
I don't go in the dungeon because I have no reason to go in there, and it's scary and dangerous.
All right.
I turn around.
A noob blocks your way.
A what?
A new, a gnu.
As in the creature?
Yes.
Is it a normal gnu, or is it somehow, I detect magic on it?
It is magical.
It is.
Magic text is written on the side that says the dungeon master wants you to go into the cave.
Oh, well, I must defy the dungeon master with all my power.
You know what? A dragon eats you.
Where did the dragon come from? I win. That's why you don't play two-person D&D.
We're trying to play a forum game of D&D, and it's fun, but it's kind of dragon. Mostly because we all have...
Dragon Dragons?
Yeah.
Dungeons and Dragon?
Yeah, after this podcast, I'm going to go Drain the Dragon.
Drain the Dragon?
Yeah, Dragon's a little full.
Mm.
Or what was the thing in Order of the Stick? The Trouser Titan?
The Trouser Titan. Coxmanship?
I have a +5 to coxmanship.
Coxmanship. I wish there was someone to play D&D with besides me.
Yeah, I mean, we're playing the online game, but it's kind of slow. But if everyone moves out here, I'll totally run a game.
And everyone will run a game. We'll have a game every night of the week. It'll be crazy.
Yep, Katsu wants to run a game. Our friend Alex, our DM, wants to run a game.
Yeah. Let's run games. Let's play a lot. What do we want? All we want to do is play lots of games, and just crap gets in our way. So then we obsess about getting rid of the crap, and we totally lose sight. All we want to do is sit around and play games the rest of our lives.
One of the happiest summers of my life. We stayed in RIT over the summer, and we paid like half rent, because that's how it worked back then. Mm-hmm. And you took like one class, and I worked at a sub shop, and our friend Alex worked at a sub shop. And we just played German board games, specifically Puerto Rico, every day.
Man, I realize if there's no bullshit in this entire world, all we would do is eat and play games all day.
I'd every probably day. Ride my bike a lot and stuff.
It would be part of a game.
Actually,
that, like, most of our time would be spent
playing
games and eating.
In college, the only time we stopped playing games if we had bigger things to do or we were too tired to continue playing physically.
Yeah. But even then, there are some games that don't take so much, like Apples to Apples.
Yeah, Apples to Apples is a great game.
Definitely a great game. They actually sell that in stores now. Carcassonne is actually in Toys R Us's some places.
Nano Fictionary was always fun.
Nano Fictionary is fun. We haven't played that in a while. I think I don't know where the instruction book is. I have to find it. Instructions are online anyway.
See, there's no real moral here because we're still kind of in the transition to the real world, which the real world generally sucks, but... Don't think that you can stay in college because it won't work, but don't give up on trying to live the college lifestyle and become a 9-to-5 schlub.
Definitely.
You got to live the college lifestyle somehow outside of college, but that can't happen if you stay in college because every generation, like, think about it. You're at RIT. Then you graduate, but you stay at RIT. All right. So now you've got some low-paying job because it's Rochester, but your rent's low, so it's okay. And you know people who are in school, so you still hang out there. Then another year goes by. Now you know people who know people in school, and you only kind of know people in the school. So when you hang out, people are always like, who's that? Then the next year. Now you kind of know people who kind of know people who go to the school, and you're just that old creepy guy who's hanging around in the corner trying to get people to play apples to apples with him.
Don't be that guy.
Yeah.
There are a lot of guys you don't want to be. That's one of the guys you don't want to be. But by that logic, what you should do is you should stay at the school for like an extra year and then leave.
Yeah, which I kind of did. I could have left a year early, and I stayed. Yeah. I came back after that co-op. I could have just left.
See, now it would be extra cool as if there were, like, nerdy towns.
Yeah.
So, like, my house would be part of, like, a nerd condo, and everyone in the whole condo is, like, a friendly nerd. So it's like I live in an awesome college dorm with college awesome nerd action, but I go to work somewhere.
Yep.
Even better if all the nerds living in that condo were the work, and then it was just awesome.
Now, I think the biggest thing is, if you have enough money, you can continue to live the college life no matter where you live.
Because then you don't have to work as much.
Yeah. Or you have enough money to get all your friends together or to travel, to go to Otakon.
Here's the problem. Imagine if one of us had like a super time-consuming CEO job of millions of dollars and the rest of us were just supported by that guy. One guy basically gets the stick and all these other people go, woo!
Yeah, but then he quits and you still have enough money to live out your days.
Well, he'd have to quit when he got enough money to live off the interest.
Or form some sort of Skinner colony.
Yeah, those don't work so well.
But we've realized, because if you just stay in your college town, it's probably a dead end in the long run, because everyone's going to leave to get, you know, real jobs. Real
Unless
jobs,
you
real
get
lives.
Everyone to stay, but then you all suffer together.
Yeah, because no matter what people tell you, unless you live in a military town or a factory town, and there aren't many factory towns that have colleges anymore, you're not going to get a good job unless you do something crazy, like start your own business, because everyone has the same idea you do, yeah. And they can always hire some fresh punk kid out of college for a lot less money than they'll pay you.
I remember when I was in college, I had to find a co-op, and it was so hard because I had to put limits, like, where it was.
Yep.
I found co-ops, like, in California, like, ding, I could have just gotten them.
We needed jobs, I looked like I need a job, and there were jobs everywhere, just not in any college town.
Yeah, but if I limited myself by where, I would have gotten a job much later. I got a job 2 weeks after I was back home.
Yep.
2 weeks.
I've technically been employed from while I was still in school until now.
Yeah. I mean, I went home. I did a little relaxing at home. You know, built a robot. Did some interneting. Put my resume about. I didn't even put that much effort into it. Not as much as I had done previously.
Yeah.
Put the resume on Craigslist. You know, I got one email that was just kind of like, I wasn't even really, because it was a job involving something that I wasn't 100% about. But then, you know, I replied because someone emailed me. Now I have a job. I still have the job.
And at first I thought,
it's not so bad.
Oh, this sucks, because I moved away and I was working for IBM and I was living out in the Mid-Hudson Valley all alone and bleh. But then, after the initial, you know, leaving and establishing myself somewhere, once one person is established somewhere, it's easy for other people to go to the same type of area.
Mm-hmm.
So then one of my friends moved in nearby. And then one of my friends moved in with me. And then two more of my friends are thinking of moving into the area. And I got a friend who has, like, he stays nearby, like, kind of far away, but much closer than the old college town.
One of these days, they'll come up with an idea, and someone will give us money to do something.
Yep.
And then we can quit and do that.
But the best way to keep living college is to flee college and get the money and find a place to establish yourself and then reconvene.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to reconvene, though, depending on what your situation is.
Yeah, we got real lucky. We found a great house. We both got jobs easily. And, of course, we're looking in the New York City area where there's a million, million, million tech jobs.
Million, million jobs in New York City. Just sucks to live in New York City.
Yeah, not so bad to live in the suburbs. I mean, we're paying not
My cousin
so much.
Just, who works in the city, she just got an apartment in the city with another person. And basically they've got, it's so small, it's one bedroom. One person's in the bedroom, and they put, like, a wall, like, in the living room to split it in half. It's so small, and they pay a lot, like, as much as we do for this whole house.
Yep.
But she doesn't lose 2 hours a day to train.
Yeah, but eventually you could telecommute, or we could start our own company, or...
Definitely. I'm not keeping this job, you know, well, the job itself is good. It's really just, you know, the time it takes to do the job that kills me. I'm probably not going to keep it. Before I'm 30, I won't be working there
anymore.
Oh,
definitely. I won't be at IBM when I'm 30, I can tell you that.
100% guarantee.
Unless they make me some sort of crazy manager. Or
Even
something.
If I become one of those guys who tries a business, it fails, tries a business, it fails, I won't.
Yeah. Because a lot of people, they have great aspirations, but then they aren't willing to take the risk.
Mm-hmm.
We are definitely willing to risk
no
our...
Pain,
our
no gain.
We're definitely willing to risk our middle class lifestyle for the possibility of leading an awesome life.
There's no other way to lead the awesome life. We have to.
Yeah, unless we get...
Or else we're basically saying we give up. We don't want an awesome life.
Yeah, the moment we give up, we cease to have the college in us, and all that's left is the 9-to-5 husk.
Like all your coworkers.
Yeah, like most of my coworkers, like pretty much everyone I've met in the tech industry who has worked in the tech industry for more than a few years.
Sucks.
Yeah, we're not going to be that way. If we ever get that way, we'd probably just say, fuck it, and quit, and like do some credit card scam, and then run off and do something crazy in like Mexico.
I don't want to do something like that.
If it got to that point, I'd rather do that than continue to live 9-to-5 until I am old enough to retire.
I just don't want to do anything where I have to run to Mexico.
We could run somewhere nice, like France.
It's not
with their riots.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So, do we have a daily sig?
Not really. This was just kind of a pseudo angsty rant about how we missed college.
It's not so angsty.
Not really. Not really.
Angsty would be like, "Sado, my college days are foregone.
Oh, for now I am against the LARP and I cannot LARP anymore."
Oh, but secretly inside I have a strong desire to LARP.
Oh.
Oh. But yeah, I will not say it.
If you get one thing out of this, live action role playing, LARPing, is
don't
a cool
do it.
Thing.
It's not cool.
However, it is not cool in Rochester, New York.
It's not cool.
It's cool.
I saw a thing on TV, people doing it in Texas. They were exactly like the people in Rochester.
But there are people who aren't that way.
Very few, and they won't play with you because you're not as cool as they are.
Well, I guess the moral is be leery of people who LARP. And stay in college as long as you can. But when it's time to leave college, fucking leave.
Yeah, and go to college, because if you don't, you'll just be a dumb waste.
Unless you become a plumber or something, then you'll make more money than we do.
Yeah, I should have been a plumber.
Or an underwater welder.
Ooh. Dangerous, though.
Yeah, dangerous, but work for 5 years.
I did realize there was one bad thing about being the plumber.
Huh?
The poop.
Yeah. Fine, electrician.
Yeah.
There's no poop in electricity, unless you're really bad at it.
You could be doing bathroom electrician-ness.
You know, you generally don't put electricity into the poop hole.
You never know. People want those, like, LED toilets.
And that was Geek Night with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for the music, and promotional consideration was provided by no one.